Those were the days when we were all at sea. It seems like yesterday to me. Species, sex, race, class. In those days, none of this meant anything at all. No parents, no children. Just ourselves, strings of inseparable sisters, warm and wet, indistinguishable one from the other.
Hello?
Gloriously indiscriminate, promiscuous and fused.
Hello?
No generations, no future, no past. An endless geographical plane of micromeshing pulsing quanta. Limitless webs of interacting bleedings, leakings, mergings, weaving through ourselves, running rings around each other. Heedless.
Needless.
Aimless.
Careless.
Thoughtless.
Amok. We had no definition.
No meaning.
No way of telling each other apart.
We were whatever we were up to at the time.
Free exchange agents. Microprocessors in fine tune. Holy horses transverse without regard for borders and boundaries. Nothing to hang on to, nothing to be grasped, nothing to protect or to be protected from. Insides and outsides did not count.
We gave no thought to any such a thing. We gave no thought to anything at all.
Everything was there for the taking then. We paid no attention. It was all for free.
It had been this way for tens, thousands, millions, billions of what were later defined as years. If we had thought about it, we would have said it would go on forever. This fluid world.
And then something occurred to us. The climate changed.
Hello?
The body's a cage, a bondage, a snare, at its best an unfortunate inconvenience, the vessel for the soul which struggles to keep it controlled and contained.
Hey, Connie!
The first time, was there one? The dream surely begins with an original. Yes, I had the sense that the first morning I wakened remembering. There were more that I had not remembered. A sensation of return, blurred but convincing. I lie on my back in the rotted center of my bed. The valley that makes me doubly conscious of being alone. One braid of my braid has come unpinned and lied coiled across my throat like a warm snake.
Under the smooth surface of sleep, what drifted?
The faces of two women. Hands outstretched, pointing to something, trying to take her hand.
The faces of the woman, young and smiling, beckoning, curiously gentle, the hands as they grasp mine, not soft but warm, hard and calloused.
What should we call you?
Connie. Call me Connie.
I'm Kay, and this is...
Nina.
Come, they urged. And I felt the touch of those gentle Kalau's hand trying to draw me along. I begin to get up and the hands are extended again.
What's wrong?
Did we frighten you?
I begin to see two women moving toward me. They are dressed up as in fancy dress. One wears a long shirt and leggings of soft, pale deerskin. Much worked with shell and quill applique. She has braided her long hair with stripes of dyed leather into a tower precariously fastened. The other's chestnut hair is loose and she wears long flingery earrings, a flowering shirt and a long skirt in a matching shade of brilliant blue. Both women wear their shirts open all the way down like jacket, their breasts visible. The one dressed in blue has a basket at her feet, which is now swings up to wear like a rucksack. She also picks up a bow and slings it over her shoulder. I see at her waist a knife sheath hanging under her shirt. What's wrong with me? Why am I seeing these things? The Amazons.
They say each warrior removed a breast so as to use her bow with ease, sacrificing it to Artemis, goddess of the hunt, aka Diana, Isis, Let, Kyveli.
The Greeks called them the Amazons, those with the missing breasts, or Oropata, the manslayers, because as Herodotus reports, their marriage law lays it down that no girl shall wed till she has killed a man in battle.
Until the 19th century, when remains were found across the territories of the sometimes Soviet Unions, the Amazons were just a myth, like the vampires and the sirens, like the Furies and the Fates, the female programmers of machines.
More recent archaeological digs in Ukraine have discovered female skeletons together with lances, arrows, and bows at the site of what is thought to be a Scythian royal tomb.
We're here.
We've been trying to reach you, but you get frightened, Connie.
What do you want from me?
Just to talk.
For you to relax and talk with us.
Nobody ever wants to talk to me. How long are you planning to follow me?
We'd rather talk to you from our home if you'll come with us.
No, why should I? Who are you?
You know our names, Connie.
She's Nina, and I'm Kay.
What do you want with me?
You're an unusual person.
Your mind is unusual.
You're what we call a catcher, a receptive.
Tell us, why are we so scary?
We're not catchers ourselves. We're what we call senders.
They must be joking.
We're running hard over too much, but where to begin so you'll comprehend, so you'll begin to intercede?
A catcher is a person whose mind and nervous system are open, receptive to an unusual extent. It's a hard circle explaining.
So where are you from?
In space, not that far.
I stopped caring. Passive, receptive, here I am, abandoning myself to the will of those people. I find myself concentrating on their faces, waiting. Come, Nina and Kay. See, this time you can come while I'm awake.
Please, you embarrass us. Tell us how to make you less anxious.
How? That's easy. What do you want?
Obviously, this laying the tablecloth over the compost is doing no good.
Try to believe us, we're not from your time.
Sure, you're from Mars and you came in a big green saucer. I read it in the tabloids.
No, we're from a village in Central Europe. Only we lived there in 2179.
You come flying to me in your time machine.
I knew it was going to be like this.
Actually, we're not here.
You're telling me?
We are in contact. You're not hallucinating. Whether anyone else can see us, we're not sure. Frankly, this contact is experimental. It's even grass, potentially dangerous. Please don't get frightened again.
Let me get this straight. You're from the future, and naturally you picked me rather than the President of the United States, because I'm such an important and wonderful person.
For sure, we wouldn't pick that person for political reasons, as I understand the history of your time.
We're the first time travellers, for sure. Not that we're actually travelling any place.
Like the bird that travels in either narrow circuit until it goes up its own arse.
We have that rib too, but we mustn't chill each other. If you're patient in spite of us bumping along, we'll succeed in interseeing and comprehending each other.
I must go now. I can't take it anymore. I'm so tired. I'm losing contact.
For sure. Till then, greet you later.
And they were gone. The secretaries.
Secretaries.
In the office spaces of the late 20th century, personal computers and organizers, mobile phone, pages and fax machine had converged with the women's secretary roles. And while the ability to make excuses and coffee for the bosses were difficult functions to simulate, programs like Virtual Valerie and the slightly more daring Donna Matrix could even supply rudimentary sexual service to the lonely male keyboarder.
He was glad to get rid of their flesh and blood predecessors. They had always been a necessary inconvenience. It had galled him to think he needed them, even for the insignificant jobs he allowed them to perform. He had to entrust them with his secrets and his codes. And while they looked very well behaved, one could never be quite sure.
There was always a risk that the women and their skills would become entangled with each other and wander off on their own. The specialised nature of their work before automation had made it difficult to find desirable work elsewhere, but the new IBM machines caused greater standardisation of procedure, so that a trained operator could work almost as well in one establishment as in another.
They weren't only processing data for the boss. If they were pooled with their colleagues, the work environment was a hive of activity.
A permanent inventiveness or creativity practiced even against administrative regulations.
And hospitable to a multiplicity of informal networks and grapevine gossip riding on the back of formal working life.
Birth and death, sex and disease, birthday and bosses, cosmetics and clothes. In several exchanges, reading clubs were formed, in other flower and vegetable gardens, and a woman's athletic club in another.
The content may have seemed trivial to him, but this was entirely beside the point.
It is quite literally the point which is subsumed when means of communication begin to communicate with themselves.
For this emergent system of exchange, new lines and links are everything. I rest my head back and tightly closes my eyes.
Connie, for sure, it's been 2 weeks.
I don't immediately open my eyes. I stand awkwardly and let Nina and Kay pull me closer. And we lean our foreheads together. I can feel them concentrating. I can feel that con of energy bearing down on me, that bearing down that wants to grab me and push me under. What have I got to lose? All too, I could sense in Nina and Kay a bridled impatience. The women hold me gently. Then I smell salt in the air. A mash tang. A breeze ruffles a loose rag of my dress, chilling my calves. Under my feet, I can feel stone. A gull muse, joined by another, somewhere above us. Nina and Kay relaxes their grip.
Home free.
Will you stand there all day with your eyelids bolted down? Look.
Rocket ships, skyscrapers into the stratosphere, an underground mold world miles deep. Glass domes over everything. I'm reluctant to see this world. Voices, far, near. Birds, a lot of birds, somewhere a dog barks. Fearfully I stare into Nina and Kay's faces, broken open in grinds of triumph. Where are we?
You might try looking around. This is where we live.
I look slowly around and see a river with no account of buildings. Strange creature like long-legged birds with sails that is turning in the wind. A few large terracotta and yellow buildings. Non-original buildings. None bigger than an ordinary supermarket in any shopping plaza. The bird objects were the tallest, and they were scarcely higher than some of the pine trees I could see. A few lamp-free buildings, overgrown with vines, no skyscrapers, no spaceport, no traffic jam in the sky. You sure we went in the right direction, into the future?
This is our time, yes, for sure. Look how pretty it is.
You live in a village, you say, way out in the sticks. Like, if we went to a city, it would be more modern.
We don't have big cities. They didn't work.
You seem disappointed, Connie.
It's not like I imagined.
I put an arm around Connie's waist and walk her gently along. A gaudy chicken struts across our path, followed by another. The path is made of stones fitted against stones in a pattern of subdued natural colour. Along it, mustard yellow flowers are in bloom. Low-growing tulips are scattered like bright stars on the ground. Connie, wait a little. Trust a little. We have great belief in our ways.
We guided her through a maze of paths and huts and small gardens where persons carrying babies on their backs are planting seeds. We hurry past a series of covered fish ponds and greenhouses to a hut near a river where domestic and wild birds mingle, feeding among the water weeds.
We come near to the hill of spidery objects, which has to be windmills turning.
You're freezing. Let's get you a jacket. Then you must come and meet my family at lunch.
Nina and Kay's family are seated in the communal kitchen area called the fooder.
There was Bee with his head tilted back, beaming at us.
The old woman on his left, called Barbarossa.
Otter, in long braids.
The slight blonde man, Morningstar.
Speaking to Dawn.
Jack Rabbit, staring at the panel with a dreamy frown.
The teenage hawk, thoughtfully picking her nose.
Luxembourg, about to say something to young hawk. I'm visibly deciding to leave her in peace.
They're all seated around a table, breakfasting on whole grains, nuts, sunflower seed, blueberry, yogurt. The milk tastes full of flavor, like from a grandmother's farm. Herbal tea in large pot stews. They often take it in turns to speak about how their day has gone, how they feel. Big topic and small talk bumping up against each other. Nina is a natural teacher, always wanting to explain how the society operates.
Our technology did not develop in a straight line from yours. We have limited resources. We plan cooperatively. We can afford to waste nothing. You might say our religion. Our ideas make us partners with water, air, birds, fish, trees.
We learned a lot from societies that people used to call primitive. Primitive technically, but socially sophisticated. We tried to learn from cultures that deal well with handling conflict, promoting cooperation, coming of age, growing a sense of community, getting sick, aging, going mad, dying.
Yeah, and you still go crazy. You still get sick, you grow old, you die. I thought this far into the future, some of these problems would have been fixed by now.
But Connie, some of these problems you fix only if you stop being human, become metal, plastic, robot, computer. Is dying itself a problem?
I'm worn out.
You imagine there's no energy draining catching.
The voices seem to drift around and my eyelids drop. I can't think. I feel leaden, my feet wadding through low sand. Nina and Kay draw me into an embrace with our foreheads touching. and too spent to do more than to fall into Ninian K's concentration, as into a fast stream the water is shunning me under. I come to leaning against the wall of my room, tears has dried on the sleeves of my faded dress. I fall asleep.
The late 20th century finds itself a flood, awash, at sea, swamped by an irresistible ocean of molecular activity, which can only be surfed, catching a wave like a sample of sound, a few grabbed bites from the new seascape.
From the middle of the island, it almost seemed that the oceanic was taking its revenge, an enormous surge of repressed return, a turning of the tables and the tides.
But it is not a simple question of reversing roles, swapping terra firma for fluidity. It is always on the edge, the in-between strands, in the lines between the ocean and the land that the mutations begin to occur and new activities start to emerge. Drops of water, grains of sand, oceans and deserts, the very wet and the very dry, they make connections of their own.